Good morning. In a short amount of time this morning, we will blend together Advent and Commitment Sunday, as well as a letter written by Paul to a church in Corinth. So hold on, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Paul writes, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. And so today we begin our Advent season. And Advent during the church calendar is a period of waiting, yes, waiting for our Savior. Yes, absolutely. We participate and we join in the story of the Old Testament as they waited for hundreds and hundreds of years. They waited, they hoped, they desired for a Savior. We resonate with their longings, with their hopes and their desires that one day things would be made right. But for us, thousands and thousands of years later, our Savior is born. Jesus is born. We don't actually wait for that anymore. Jesus' birth, his life, his teaching, his miracles, his ministry, his death and resurrection, that is our reality every day. Single day. We don't have to wait for that. When Jesus was born and when he lived his life on this earth, his most important announcement that he made time and time again is that the kingdom of God, what people were hoping for and yearning for and desiring that we read about in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God is here. Stop. Period. The thing that everyone was waiting for, it's all around us. And he uses parables and his teaching to explain to people what that actually looks like. And so at the same time, it's here, but it's not yet complete. And we all want it completed, right? Isn't that what we still yearn for? Yes, we see evidence of God's kingdom and his will amongst us, and it takes discipline to find it sometimes. But it's a lot easier to look around us and see evidence where God's kingdom and will isn't. And that takes a lot less discipline. And so just like people of the Old Testament, we also wait. Yes, the kingdom of God is here and we can experience it here and now. But it's also not yet complete. It's often said that the kingdom of God is already, but not yet. Someday things will be made right. Someday you and I will be seen as holy. Someday you and I will be seen as set apart and sanctified. Someday when people look at us individually and corporately, they'll know that Jesus is among us. And so during this time of Advent, even 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, we still hope. We still wait. We still long and desire for things to be made right. I find it interesting in Paul's letter to the church of Corinth that we read this morning that when Paul addresses the church, he addresses them as people who are sanctified, as people who are holy, as people who are not lacking any spiritual gifts at all, as people who God will keep firm to the end so that they will be blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's what was said about a church. Does that come across as really impressive to some people? Does that come across as really lofty praise? And I think this is even more interesting because if you read the entire letter that Paul wrote to these people that he said these amazing things about, if you read the whole letter, you find out that this church was actually full of really significant issues. some major problems. We're not talking about small, debatable issues. We're talking about huge divides in the church. For example, there's a divide between people who are committed to religious personalities and people who were committed to the way of Jesus. That's a significant divide. There were divides between people who thought different things about what God desires for the marriage relationship and how that's supposed to be an ongoing thing. There were divides between people who felt that idols were something that they should leave behind in following Jesus, and people were like, no, it's okay to give into our culture and to continue in idol worship. There were divides between people who were literally drinking too much of the communion wine, and other people weren't extended to it in the same way. They had huge issues. This is the church that Paul calls holy and sanctified and lacking in no spiritual gifts. Does this surprise anybody? Friends, this for us this morning, this is really good news. This is gospel news. Friends, this morning, I'd imagine that most of us probably have our own times, or maybe we're going through them right now, of dysfunction, like the church did. Maybe some of us have our own moral issues in the past, or maybe we're going through them right now. Maybe that's true of us. But according to Paul's letter to the people of Corinth, our shortcomings, our failures, they're not the most true thing about us. Our shortcomings don't receive the main focus in Paul's letter. Instead, he focuses on the way of Jesus, who made all things right between us and God, as Kathy talked about in her prayer. And not only that, but Jesus, the way of Jesus, promised that when the thing that we are all waiting for during this Advent season, when things are right, when Jesus wipes away every tear, when Jesus stands and makes all things new, the thing that we are yearning for, when that time comes, that we together, that you and I individually, we're going to be seen as holy and sanctified and lacking in nothing as well. And it's not because of what you and I do. It's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the good news this morning. Or as verse 4 says, because of the grace that has been given to us. So individually and together as a church, the gospel also extends something else to us. It gives us the option to live that future reality right now. It's what we pray for every week, that God's kingdom and God's will would be made known in this real, on this earth, in heaven, to the same degree it is in heaven. And so on this Commitment Sunday, we want to share some stories of what happens when individuals in a church, when followers of Jesus or a church corporately, live out that future reality even right now. We want to share some stories of what happens when people live differently than the rest of the world. What happens when people stay connected even during a time where people feel really isolated, when people encourage one another and support one another, even during a time in our history where people feel really lonely. We want to share stories of how individuals and people as a whole have brought the kingdom of God here to this earth during difficult times. And so we're going to start by hearing from Ruthanna Metzger. And then following her, we'll hear from Katie and Dylan McCrum. And then following them, we'll have Emil talk specifically about small groups. And then Stephanie Landis, the chair of our stewardship committee, will conclude our time together. And so, Ruthanna, will you come and share with us for a moment, please?
As we begin, I guess I'm allowed to take my mask off. As we began our worship this morning, we sang, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." Setting people free is something that Jesus longs for all of us. And as Davis just said, not because of what we do, but because of what he has done. And as I began to make inventory on Thanksgiving, actually a few days before, of the things which I am so grateful for, of the way in which people in this church are helping us be set free, I made this long list. I thought of Scott and Julie leading the worship. I thought of Martina and Jeff cleansing the chairs so we can sit down and be safe. I thought of Ryan and his incredible enthusiasm for the young people and his creative imagination and ways in which he leads them to Jesus. I thought of Kathy Apotian, so beautifully illustrated in the prayer this morning. And then Pastor Dave with sermons that are rooted and grounded in the scriptures. And then I thought of a group of people that have been embraced by this church, a group called Songshine, a group of people who've been marginalized by many of their friends because they have Parkinson's. I don't have Parkinson's, but I now have a horrific tremor. People who have had a stroke, they can't speak, some of them, but they can sing, and they are able to come prior to COVID right here to Miller Hall and regain the ability to speak more effectively, to withdraw vocabulary from the brain because of the way it processes information. And then I thought about the fact that when COVID-19 hit and we were shut down and could no longer be with our students, I called the church and I said, can we start filming a series of podcasts, video podcasts from the sanctuary? And they said yes. And so we were almost immediately able to begin to upload onto our website the various exercises that kept their voices strong. I thought of the fellow that I work with, Peter Harris, not quite yet a believer, but I believe God has his hand on him. And he has started to lead those people in the use of psalms in order to strengthen their voice. And I thought of the one in which it's a lament. Oh Lord, how long wilt thou forget me? Wilt thou forget me forever? But the end says, but I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And I thought also about the fact that 3 weeks before COVID-19 shut us down, our singers and players, we have to have done a concert, which we do every spring here. Many of you have come, I recognize so many of you have come to those concerts. This year, we were doing a concert based on Brigadoon. Ironically, Brigadoon is the story of a mythical village in Scotland that gets shut down and goes to sleep for 100 years and then comes awake for one day only to get shut down to go to sleep again. And we, as the days went on and COVID didn't disappear, we kept thinking, we've been shut down like the people in Brigadoon. And so we decided to attempt a virtual performance. I called the church again and I said, can we film a few pieces in the sanctuary? They said yes. So we brought in a videographer from KMIR television and he filmed. And then we did all the rest on Zoom. We can't hear what they're singing, but they were there in their rooms alone singing and recording themselves. It's all being pieced together. And on December 10, 11, 12, and 13, Brigadoon is going to come alive on live stream, and you'll hear more about that, I think, in the top five. You'll hear notice about that. But most important, I began to think, when we take these masks off, and we no longer have to social distance, that won't indicate we've come alive. What will indicate we've come alive is when Jesus Christ has come to dwell in our hearts, in our minds, and we decide we want to live as his people. That's when we come alive, when Jesus comes alive in us.
I'll put it on half in case you want to use it. Dylan, you probably don't need it. All right.
Am I going to stand up here?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Katie, and this is Dylan McCrum.
Good morning.
And we're going to share with you how we found this church and this amazing group of people.
So we are devout here right now, members of the Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. In my family, I just wanted to let you guys know a little history about myself. Oh, sorry. I'll take this off. A little history about myself. I never grew up in a religious, you know, background. My family, we had no God or scripture, never entered the picture, you know, in our upbringing. But we were taught, you know, the golden rule, how to be good, how to be kind, how to be thoughtful in our behavior. But that was basically the extent of it. There was no Sunday church. There was no one was baptized. My parents were hippies in the 60s. And we didn't, you know, conform to any or subscribe to anything organized. So in a way, it was a good thing. I didn't know any better, really, and I never grew up with any perceived notions of religious rights or wrongs. But, you know, Katie will tell you that this has been my first experience with the church, and in our time here, just immediately felt at peace and at home here. This church has strengthened our marriage, and our friendships have been brought closer, and our children have been nothing but happy and just joyful with this place. So I just want to thank everybody here and this whole church and what they've given to us, the gift, and me, the gift of God.
So I grew up in a different situation. I did grow up in a religious home. As a matter of fact, my grandmother and great-grandmother attended the Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. My mother converted to Catholicism to marry my father, and as a result, she became very, very devout in her Catholic faith, and we did go to church every Sunday. When my mother and father got a divorce, according to Catholic rules, she was no longer welcome to receive communion. And that devastated her. And I could see the pain after she had converted to now be shunned from something that meant so much to her. Going forward, there were scandals in the Catholic Church. And when I got into university, it was no longer something that I wanted to be a part of. It was something that I could no longer subscribe to. So I turned my back on my faith, and I turned my back on God, and I lived that way for 20 years. And when we moved here, we enrolled our children at the academy here, and it was so full of love, and the teaching was so full of hope and joy, and the teachers were so wonderful. We attended one of the Monday chapels led by Rai, the Bible guy, and the message was so beautiful. It wasn't the fire and brimstone that I had grown up with. And Dylan and I looked at each other and thought, this place is really special. We came to a back-to-school night barbecue, and we met this wonderful family, and they were a lot like us. They had kids, and you know, they were so fun and engaging, and we spent the whole evening talking to them. That weekend, I said to Dylan, Do you want to go to church? What a thought, hey? And we did. And we got we sat down in the pew, and in walked the pastor. And lo and behold, it was the couple that we met at the barbecue that was like us. It was Pastor Dave and Jess. And whoa, we didn't see that coming. And the message that Dave delivered was full of historical facts, and I loved that. I'm a history nut. But not only was it about history, it was beautiful messages and good news. And it was so relevant to our life today that I could wrap my head around scripture that I really never really meant anything to me as a child growing up. So, you know, since then, Pastor Dave baptized Dylan. So Dylan now has a baptism. We've become members of the church, and we are grateful for this gift every day. Basically, this church gave Dylan a newfound faith in God, and this church restored my faith in God. And that is the greatest gift we ever could have received. So thank you.
I got you.
Oh, no. Thanks. Hi, my name's Emil Fisher.
and been a member of the church for over 40 years, grew up here, and just absolutely feel blessed by our church. But I recently had a conversation with a peer, and he's like, hey, with all this COVID pandemic stuff, where's the church? And I was joking with him. I said, well, we've really branched out. We got to the patio. But in all seriousness, the church is where three or more are gathered. I am grateful that there are way more than three people here today. And thank you for all your attendance, but also your prayers for the church as a whole. We move forward just not here. Church is not just Sunday. It's not small gatherings here on the campus. We're far beyond this campus. And one of the things that's been really, really impressive for myself and my faith, as well as my wife's, is our home gatherings. Small groups, grow groups, they come by different names. But we were offered the chance to become small group leaders. And my wife's first response was, we're going to have to clean the house every week. We're going to have to do this, that. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is our opportunity to let our proverbial hair down, gather together, and just take what we hear on Sundays from head to heart. And we've just been so blessed. We've met the Kearns, the Husingfelts. Barbara Oseka attended our group all the way from Maine via Zoom. We had to reach out via technology, not just in our home, but now we had an interstate cross-continent Bible study going on Sundays. And just the personal relationships, the community sense, as well as the accountability. You know, talking to your peer and they're saying, well, hey, you know, where are you on this? Are you sure you did right on that verbiage? You know, where's your heart? You know, working with Scott Wilson, he's been a longtime friend of mine from Texas A&M, and we're holding each other accountable. We take in those small groups, we just feel so blessed that it's just us, hair down and all, with our peers and fellow congregants, just allowing us to find and divine the will of God in our lives, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. And so if you ever have the opportunity to join a small group, we have several of them through the church community, feel free, call Kathy or others and find out where we are. We're always welcoming new people. It's not a commitment, it's community. And we encourage you to join. Our current example of some of the things that we're doing, we have the Battle Plan for Prayer. Coming forth is our new group. There's other programs coming through the other small groups. But I am just grateful for the community and the passion that the members of this congregation both have for ourselves and others, but also our outreach to the community. Join us in a small group if you have the opportunity, but also just thank you for your prayers and presence. Thank you.
Good morning. Okay, I have a few notes so I stay on track. It's really nice to see so many people here. I love it. And just Ruth Anna, wherever you are, Ruth Anna, the McCrums, Emil, thank you for sharing all those wonderful stories of how, even though we're kind of not really meeting together because so many of you are probably watching on Zoom, it's such a blessing. So it just shows that our church is still very active, serving our community and our members. And to everybody out there and to there, thank you for giving. We've received quite a few pledges already, which is why I'm here. I'm head of the stewardship committee. And this year, more than ever, because we're not meeting together, you know, is you all realize a pledge is so important because that helps our budget and finance committees plan better for this next coming year. And because we're not meeting together, our loose offerings have dropped 30%, which I know many of you heard last week. And many of you are very generous, and you give, and there's money in that pot. But we this year, a pledge is more important than ever. And as you've heard, all the wonderful things that your money is going towards right now. And I love that Ruth Anna shared that, you know, the live streaming and you know, even, you know, all the very, very important ways that we are connecting. Our Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church is still connecting with people who can't be here on site, because many of you are at home, and this is the only way that you can be with us. So other ways that our, you know, your finances help is, you know, Care Day, a children's ministry was mentioned, and, you know, we still need to maintain our church. Look how beautiful. I'm sorry you all at home can't see this, because the church looks so beautiful. The grounds and the flowers, the grass is green, and again, thank you for thanking Martina and Jeff for keeping everything safe for us. So to put it in perspective, which many of you probably heard last week, was if each member person gave $42 a week, which would be $2,200 a year, we would meet our stewardship goal. And if you have not yet decided on your pledge, this is the time to pray, ask God, just time with Him to say, how do you want me to continue to support and bless this church? So if you haven't turned in your pledge, hopefully what you've heard today and your time with the Lord, and see how He touches your heart. If you have filled out your pledge, Kathy already said this, there are boxes to put them back in here. If you don't have a pledge card and you're here today, there's pledge cards in the back. And for those of you who are not with us on site, you can mail it back in to the office, you can bring it in, or you can go onto the website, which all of you should probably know by now, but is PD Presby. So it's PDPRESBY.org. And then you can download the pledge card. You can also see some wonderful videos. I don't know if anybody has seen these videos of some of our mission partners. Anybody seen those? Good. They're wonderful. And just see how your support is helping them. I probably talked too much, but I saw 2 Corinthians yesterday. I was reading something, and it just said, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let us all be cheerful givers in our church community, our family. This is our family. So thank you for your support in the past, for your continued support in the future. We're grateful and we feel blessed for you. And David's asked me to close in prayer. So please bow your heads. Father God, as we enter this season of Advent, may we be reminded daily of who you are, Messiah, light of the world, bread of life, beautiful one. We are thankful and grateful for all you do for us. And as we depart from being with our church family today, may we be reminded each day this week that you are always with us, whether you're walking beside us or carrying us through. May your light shine through us, and may others see you in us. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.